Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
And it is time to go to the guest line this morning. As we mentioned going into break, we all know that drug costs are through the roof. And for a lot of people who cannot afford them, something needs to be done in that area. And there are hundreds of pharmacists from around the country on Capitol Hill to meet with members of Congress to lobby to do something about it. To discuss it with us is the CEO of the National Community Pharmacists Association, Doug Hoy, with us on KMOX. Doug, we appreciate your time today. Thank you for visiting with us.
Yeah, thanks for the chance to talk with you about the independent pharmacies and the high cost of drugs and how we can keep them lower.
Yeah, so how can we keep them lower, and what is your path to doing so?
So everyone knows drug costs are going up, and you know, the United States pays the most in the world, but far and away. And one of the things, one of the features of the United States healthcare system that virtually no other country in the world has, and those other countries pay lower drug costs, are these middlemen called pharmacy benefit managers, or PBMs. And in St. Louis, there's actually the biggest, the largest PBM in the entire country is in your backyard in St. Louis. It's called Express Scripts.
Yep.
And these PBMs are owned by insurance companies. Express Scripts is owned by Cigna, and they have a motivation that the higher the cost of the drug goes up, the more money they make. And so what we're advocating here on Capitol Hill, here in Washington, D.C., and there's a number of pharmacists from Missouri who are here adding to the national voice, is to say, look, we don't need this role of these middlemen who are just adding costs to the cost of prescription drugs. We need to they can have a role, but it should be an appropriate role. And we need to pay the pharmacies a flat fee, just a flat fee above what it costs them to buy the drug, and nothing more. And it's really simple. It's a simple, transparent, predictable model. And we've got some good traction. There's a lot of interest in Washington, D.C., especially with there's a lot, with DOGE coming in for government efficiency and trying to cut out government waste and give the taxpayers a better deal. We're getting a lot of interest from legislators to look at this more transparent system that eliminates the big role of the middleman.
Doug, correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding about the PBMs is there are some like national pharmacies, like CVS, for example, that also operate as PBMs. And isn't there some effort to limit that, to say either you get to be a pharmacy or you get to be a PBM, you can't be both? Isn't there something going on in that regard?
There is. There's actually big news for our industry. So just, south of Missouri and Arkansas passed a state law just signed by Governor Huckabee Sanders into law maybe 2 weeks ago, so very recently, that would say this conflict of interest, because we say that as a conflict of interest, and so did the state of Arkansas, that for these big insurance PBMs to also own pharmacies. And you gave a great example of CVS. CVS owns brick and mortar pharmacies, but then they also own these PBMs. They also own the insurance company Aetna. So when you have one person owning the insurance company, the prescription drug manager, and the pharmacy, it creates this conflict of interest. And what was happening, or what is happening, is that the big insurance companies, you know, Aetna or Caremark's the name of the PBM, would say, hey, we can make more money if we steer patients who are enrolled with Aetna or enrolled with Caremark into our CVS pharmacies. And in Arkansas, they said, look, we're paying more money as a state. We're not going to put up with that. It's hurting our pharmacies, too. It's causing pharmacies to close. Mm-hmm. In the last 5 or 6 years, the country has lost 10% of all the pharmacies in the country have closed, not just independents, but independents and chains. So Arkansas is kind of the tip of the spear. They're the, you know, one down, 49 to go, of saying this conflict of interest is not good for taxpayers. It's not good for citizens. You got to be one or the other. Pick your choice, but you can't serve two masters. You've got to be one or the other. Express Scripts has a big mail order pharmacy, so they don't have brick and mortar stores like the CVS pharmacies, but they have an enormous mail order pharmacy that also presents that conflict of interest.
This is kind of a 101, almost a dumb question, but why do we need pharmacy benefits managers in the first place?
You know, it's really not a dumb question at all. And I know that's like a reflex thing to say when someone says it's a dumb question. It really is not, because the whole system is intentionally complex. It's very difficult to track where the dollars are going. So why do we need PBMs? Why did they start in the first place? Well, they started about 30 or 40 years ago, and they actually served a good purpose. Back then, patients would buy a prescription drug, and then they'd have to, it was called the shoebox effect. People would throw the receipt in a shoebox, and then at the end of the year, tax year, they'd take those receipts out of the shoebox and try to get repaid for them. And what the PBMs helped do, again, 40 years ago, was to make that an electronic process. And in fact, pharmacies were one of the first healthcare providers where the transaction was electronic. And so in the late 80s and early 90s, a patient could come into the pharmacy, and let's just say their copay was $10. The patient would pay the $10. And then the pharmacy, let's just say the drug cost the pharmacy $50, patient would pay $10, the pharmacy would get paid back $40, because remember the drug cost them $50, and then the pharmacy would get maybe a $7 or $8 dispensing fee, 40 years ago. So it was really simple, and it made it easy for the patient. They didn't have to have, file these receipts, go through all the paperwork. So it really was a good service. But what's happened over time is that these PBMs have merged and consolidated. And so now three of the PBMs, including Express Scripts, is one of them. Caremark, the CVS one, is the other. And then United Health, of course, has a PBM. Just those three PBMs control 80% of all the prescription traffic in the United States. And so they've gotten too big to fail. And so it used to be that the drug manufacturers, that they were the ones kind of raising the prices and causing things to become so expensive. But that's changed in the last 5 or 10 years. The PBMs have gotten so big and so powerful that they call the shots. They can say to the drug manufacturer, look, we're not going to pay for your drug, which means patients can't get your drug, unless you give us some rebates. You give us some payola to include your drug on our formulary. Otherwise, the patient can't get it. So the PBM has morphed from this nice, good bread and butter service to kind of this dragon with fangs, mm-hmm. that is controlling where patients can get their medication, how much they pay, and which drugs they get. The PBMs sometimes overrule physicians and often overrule pharmacists,
yeah.
on which drugs patients can get. So it's kind of the a nice little puppy that, you know, grew up to be a pit bull.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And to that point, and I think you described it with them throwing their weight around, but who said, okay, we'll let the PBM decide that I can't get this doctor-recommended procedure, or I should say medicine. I can't get this doctor-recommended medicine. Who said okay to that, allowing them to be the highest tribunal?
Yeah, sort of the judge, the jury, and the executioner is. Yeah, it's really our healthcare system has allowed that. So, I mean, technically, I'm sure if you had a PBM on, they'd say, oh, that's not true. A patient can get the medication that their physician prescribed. So technically, that probably is true. But what they don't say is that, but we're not going to cover it.
Right.
So the patient's left, you know, let's just say their benefit makes that $1,000 drug be $100 drug. Of course, the patient's paying monthly premiums to help offset that. But if they don't use their insurance or if the drug's not covered, let's just say they have to pay the entire $1,000. So, yes, it's technically a choice, but it's not much of a choice because the patient has to pay the full brunt or the majority of the cost of the drug. And our healthcare system has allowed that. The structure of our the benefit design, how the healthcare benefit is designed. You've got the PBMs. Again, the higher the cost of a drug, the bigger rebate, the more money they're able to extract out of a manufacturer. So at one point, they were interested in keeping dollars low, the cost of drugs low, but now the higher the better. And that trickles down, of course, to higher healthcare premiums, health insurance premiums, higher costs at the counter. And also, it's the economic environment for the pharmacies. You think, oh, well, at least the pharmacies are making some money out of this. They're not at all. Pharmacies are closing left and right. Like I said, 6,000 pharmacies have closed, have contracted. There's 6,000 fewer pharmacies in the United States today than there were just 7 years ago.
So people are listening to this and they're wondering, okay, what's being done to lower costs for us? Is it going to happen? You said earlier that it seems like there's a bipartisan interest in getting something done here. So what's the real likelihood and how does it happen?
We think there's a high likelihood. I will say there's been actually some frustration on from our pharmacy lens because the PBM legislation that would reform some of their business practices to make it, again, we're interested in transparency for the patient, simplicity for the patient, and predictability for the patient and for the pharmacy and how much they pay and how much the pharmacy gets paid. That's what legislation that we support, our organization, we represent the pharmacy owners in the United States, 19,000 independent pharmacies across the country. That's what this legislation would do. And it's, you know, the Washington, D.C. environment is, you know, no surprise to anyone if they're reading or listening to the radio or reading news, highly polarized. However, PBM reform is highly bipartisan. It's passed committees, like, you know, committees 26-0, almost unanimously. What's holding it up, though, is, oh, I should also, this is important, it would save taxpayers, this PBM legislation would save taxpayers $5 billion. $5 billion savings. So it's good for patients. We think it would be good for pharmacies, too. What's holding it up is somewhat the toxic environment in Washington. You know, so because it saves money, it's a question of in what package does it get put into. Right now, there's a big budget bill that's being worked on in the House. And We're told it'll be included in that. We've been told it would be included in the bills that were needed to fund the government that were passed in December and then passed again in March. It's been frustrating from our standpoint because, hey, this saves $5 billion, and who couldn't use a $5 billion savings? We're told, though, by House Majority Leader, Speaker of the House, Johnson, and then Senate Majority Leader John Thune, that it's going to pass. It'll be in reconciliation. We're just very anxious. Our pharmacy owners and the patients we serve, you know, every day a pharmacy is going out of business because of the PBMs. And so every day they wait, it's one more pharmacy, one more small business that closes, and one more community that loses access to its local pharmacy. So we're antsy. We're ready for Congress to do its job.
And people are antsy to bring drug costs down, because that's the most important thing, is what people have to pay for the medicine they need. And for a lot of people, a lot of that stuff is unaffordable. So they are absolutely the most important part here. Doug Hoy, we appreciate your time today. Thank you for joining the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Doug is the CEO of the National Community Pharmacists Association.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer, where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.